So, Lag BaOmer is coming up. I'm not going to say how soon because that might be a suffix, but I don't really see spirit of man if I say how soon. But Lag BaOmer is coming up very soon, and Lag BaOmer is presumed to be the day that Torah's HaNistar was given to us. As much as Shavuos is a Kabbalah HaTorah and the Torah's HaNigla, the Lag BaOmer is presumed to be the day where Shem Bar Yochai revealed Torah's HaNistar. So there's always a lot of discussion relating to Torah's HaNistar around Lag BaOmer. It happens to be just 1 week ago, I turned 39 years old, so I'm edging ever closer to the ability to learn Torah's HaNistar, apparently. But they say that you're supposed to be 40 years old before you learn Torah's HaNistar. Although I recall when I was in Rav Schechter's shir, he must have been in his 50s at the time, his late 50s, and he once quoted a Zohar. And he said, "I didn't see the Zohar inside. I don't really know Zohars. You have to be 40 to learn that stuff. So I can't learn that." So that was his, very gentle way of saying that that's not his, his focus. But I started to think about where does that come from, that 40-year-old requirement. And what really got me thinking, I think I mentioned in the Daf Yomi Shir, Daf Ayin Aleph, which was, I guess, Shabbos's Daf. What really got me thinking is the Gemara sounded like there should be a different that there is some sort of age requirement for these kinds of things, but a different age requirement for these kinds of things. It's not abundantly clear in the Gemara that what we're talking about is Torah's HaNistar in general, but clearly what the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Ayin Aleph is talking about is something that is Nistar, something that is for the select few, that has to be given from Rebbe to Talmud, that's not taught frequently. It's very clear, and it relates to Shemus Hashem, so it's very clear that it's not your standard, Bereshis Bara Elokim, or, any standard halacha that you would find in Shulchan Aruch. So, Bereshis Bara Elokim is Maisa Bereshis, that actually is the definition of Torah's HaNistar. So, poor example, but you get the point. So, what does the Gemara say over there? The Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, Daf Ayin Aleph, that Amra Bar Bechan Amra B'Yochanan Shein Ben Arba Osios Chacham Mosno Sol Talmidein Pamachas Peshvua. Context over there is about talking about Yichus and revealing whether someone's a Mamzer or not a Mamzer, and how certain things, certain bits of knowledge would only be passed on to Talmidim on an infrequent basis. But the name that has four Osios, the Chacham would give to their Talmidim Pamachas Peshvua. They would only give it over to their Talmidim once every 7 years. And some say no, twice every 7 years. Most mistaver that it's once every 7 years, and the Gemara goes on, darshan's a pasuk, that the way it's written is not the way that it's read. We know certainly it's written yudke vavke, but it's read as the shem adnos v'nikra ba'alav dalis, and then it moves on to the next shem Hashem. Tan rabbanan barishon shem ben shteimesrei osios, the name that has 12 letters. Rashi admits that the name that has 12 letters and the name that has 42 letters, he says, lo pirshu lanu. We don't know exactly what that is, but there's some other Shem Hashem that has more than four letters, that has 12 letters, and ha'yimosro sol kaladim. Initially, they were willing to teach that to anybody. But once the pritzim became too many, they instead gave it only to the tznum shebekuna. What does that mean, that the pritzim became too many? So Rashi over there says that that people were using it. Apparently it was something that they were able to use, and if it was used shalobitara, not for the sake of Hatzalas Nefashos, that's how the Adramah says, not for the sake of Hatzalas Nefashos, so that's bad, that it here is this name that has all this super Kedusha, and you can use it in a way that's not... That's not, that doesn't befit its level of Kedusha and Tara, so that would be a very bad thing. So they Dafka gave it to the Tznuim Shabakuna, the most modest of the Kohanim. Vatznuim Shabakuna, Mavlimos, Benimus, Achim Kohanim, and they would utilize it during the Birch Kohanim when the other Kohanim were singing. They would sort of say it under their breath, and Rabbi Tavron tells a story how he managed to listen really closely, and he heard it from his uncle, who was so he heard it from the Kohen Gadol, and he followed his uncle up to the Duchan. And then the Gemara goes on to the Shem Ben Arbaim Ushtayim Osios. Amar Rav Yehuda Rav, Shein ben Arba Mushtai Milsios, the name of Hashem that has 42 letters. Ein Mosno So Ella, we only give it to Lemisha Tsanua, someone who's modest, Va'anav, and he's humble, Va'omeid Bechatzi Yamav, and he has reached Chatzi Yamav, half his days. Now the Rishonim in general, when we talk about someone who is Omeid Bechatzi Yamav, when we talk about Chatzi Yamav Shaladam, typically speaking, that is not the age of 40. We assume that that's referring to someone who has reached the age of 35. In fact, the Perush of Talmud Rashi says that explicitly, and the Yad Ramah explains that what is it about Chatzi Yamav, that sense of taiva and the need for kavod seems to diminish after the age of 35. Someone who's learning this, who's learning the Shem and Avraham Shaim Osios, can't be in it for himself, can't be in it to satisfy his taivas. It has to be done with a tremendous amount of Kedusha. So at the age of 35, why is 35 Chatzi Yamav? Because 35, we assume Meshnos of Shaladim Shivim Shana, and a typical lifespan was 70 years. So Chatzi Yamav is 35. We have that expression comes up elsewhere in Shas as well. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos tells us about a Tanu Dvei Eliyahu, about a man who was Shana Harbe, Vikara Harbe, Vishimish Tamil Chab Marbe, Umeis Bechatzi Yamav, a man who learned a lot of Torah and died at the age of 35. And the Gemara tells us how his Almana was all confused, Ki Chayecha Varuch Yamecha, where's the Arichas Yamim? And it goes through this whole story, the fascinating story. It's one of only two sources in Shas for Harchakos of Anida, is that Gemara that also uses this terminology of Chatzi Yamav. So here you have an age requirement. It seems that we're talking about something about Nistar. We know it's not just talking about what the name is or how to pronounce the name, because the first of the items, even though Rashi says, I don't know what the 12-letter name or the 42-letter name is, but since the first name that the Gemara discusses is a name that we already know how it's spelled, and we already know how it's pronounced, and we know how it would be pronounced if you were pronouncing it the way you would spell it, and we just don't do that, we don't pronounce it that way, so the Marsha points out, it can't be that what they gave their Talmidim was the pronunciation, that was the whole extent of what they were limiting, and what they were trying to keep a secret, and that they were giving only once every 7 years. It can't be that it was all about the pronunciation, because that, we know that, you don't need to give that we have. It has to be, says the Marsha, that it was about something more than that, right? Marsha in source number 2 writes that Rashi says Kriyaso Kiksivaso Upir Shachamim. So he says Ratzalomer Devale Kriyaso Kiksivaso Hakol Yodimbo. Everyone knew how to read it and how to write it. Vein Tzarch Mesiras Chachamim. You don't need a Mesiras Chachamim. Aval Perusho Shalachsiva VaKriya VeKavanaso Ein Kol Adam Yodeya Ela Alidei Kabbalah. But it's the perush of the ksiva and the kriya and what its deeper meanings are. That's what they were reserving to give over to special talmidim on an occasional basis. So that's the it's in that context that we say once you're at the Shem ben Arbam Shem Osios, you need to be 35 years old. So when we saw that Gemara and Lag BaOmer was coming up, and I'm drawing ever closer to the age of 40, I started to think maybe we should talk about when I have no taiva to learn Kabbalah. Maybe I should. It's probably bad, but I don't really have much of a taiva to learn Kabbalah. But still, I was thinking, if I were to have such a taiva, would it be permissible for me to learn Kabbalah? Let's say now. Let's say I want to jump the gun. Is it like giving matzah on Erev Pesach if you learn Kabbalah when you're 39 years old and not when you're 40 years old? So I was I asked this question in the teacher's room this morning amongst the rebbeim in DRS, and one of our rabbinic interns, a Talmud of mine, Kivi Nyman, said to me that he just saw an article on this, and he sent it, he emailed it to me right away, from Rav Tal Chaimovitz from Bet El. I don't know who it is, but he has like a 95-page article on what the prerequisites are for learning Kabbalah. I did not read all 95 pages today, but I read about 35, 40 pages. So, and he breaks it down into multiple chapters, and he discusses what the prerequisites might be. So what are the prerequisites? What have you heard might be prerequisites for learning Kabbalah? So the 40-year-old one, that's like the famous one, right? Everyone knows that you got to be 40 years old to learn Kabbalah, although we'll soon see that it's not so posh that you actually have to be 40 years old to learn Kabbalah. That's the famous one. What other prerequisites do you have to learn Kabbalah? So he has a chapter on, is there a knowledge prerequisite in learning Kabbalah? Do you need to know, how much Shas and Poskim do you need to know? Is that important at all for Liman HaKabbalah? And if it is important, why is it important? Is it important just because, you know, you're supposed to take care of your chiyuvim before you take upon yourself new things? Or is it important inherently that you're not going to be able to truly understand Kabbalah unless you're firmly grounded in Shas and Poskim? So that's a second possibility. Those are the only two issues we're really going to discuss tonight. He has a lot more. He also talks about, is it only for Yechidim? Meaning, is there room to say that let Kabbalah be available for the masses? And to different degrees, it has become that way. It's certainly become available. And I'm not just talking about like Kabbalah centers and, you know, whatever shadow of a shadow of a shadow of Kabbalah that they're doing in those places. But I'm talking about even like in the Sephardic world, in the Hasidic world, in the Neo-Hasidic world, you can't learn a Noam Elimelech. You can't even learn a Sfas Emes without being somewhat familiar with Kabbalistic terminology. So you may not be dedicating yourself to, you can learn a Sfas Emes on Shas, but not like Sfas Emes on Chumash. The without being somewhat familiar with Kabbalistic terminology. So, I mean, I can't learn a Sfas Emes. I rely on Elisha to tell me what the Sfas Emes says. I have no idea what the Sfas Emes says. But so there is a certain level of just becoming familiar with the terminology that is widely accepted that the masses can and should do. So is that a thing, or is that something that maybe it should be reserved only for the Yechidim? He has a chapter on whether it's necessary to have Yirat Shamayim. What if you know Shas and Poskim and you're very intelligent? So is it important? Is Yirat Shamayim a prerequisite to Kabbalah? Meaning, if it's an intellectual endeavor, why should Yirat Shamayim be a prerequisite? Is Yirat Shamayim a prerequisite to Talmud Torah? So it's not a prerequisite, it helps, and it's good, and we hope that Talmud Torah helps promote more Yirat Shamayim, but one is allowed to learn regular Torah, Torah Sanigla, without Yirat Shamayim. Why would it be different by Kabbalah? He has a chapter on whether it's dangerous. The Gemara in Chagiga talks about the Dalet Shenichnasu L'Pardes, and it didn't work out so well for everybody to be exposed to Kedusha that maybe they weren't ready for. He has a chapter on, is there a special smicha that's needed in order to teach the Kabbalah? I mean, can you just learn it from someone who doesn't have a smicha from his Rebbe to teach Kabbalah? Do you have to be married to learn Kabbalah? Do you have to go to the mikveh before you learn Kabbalah? A full chapter on each of these questions. Do you have to go to the mikveh before you learn Kabbalah, or, you know, for Tevilas Ezra? Or is it, can you just learn like you would anything else, where we assume that that was a gzeirah shein rov tzibur chol olam haba, and we don't go to the mikveh before learning regular Talmud Torah Sanigla? So that's he has on all these topics, but again, we're going to try to narrow it down more to the two topics of, is there an age requirement, and second, and is there a knowledge requirement? Is there a requirement of how much you have to know in order to learn Kabbalah? I don't even know what it means exactly. I'm not sure what their. You know, I have a first cousin who's married to a guy who's learning in a Kabbalah kollel in the Old City, and they've been married for, I don't know, 12 years, and he's still learning in the Kabbalah Kollel. I don't even know what I would talk to him about. Like, I'm not sure if we're, you know, I don't even know what books he brings with him to yeshiva, you know, to the Kollel every day. So it's something that I'm really not the most qualified person, as you may have guessed, to talk about this kind of thing, but still, it was a curiosity, so I wanted to see what the poskim say about learning Kabbalah, which is, you know, it's an unfair game to go with that. You know, it's like, what do the Kabbalists say about learning halacha? Like, I would look at what the poskim say about it. But okay, let's get started. So with that introduction, so is there an age requirement? So the only age requirement that there are only two age requirements I was able to find in Shas, and he didn't quote this Gemara in his article. This Rav Chaimovitz didn't quote this Gemara in Kiddushin, but that was one Gemara that I found, which seems to say 35. And the only other Gemara that seems to indicate any sort of age prerequisite is Gemara Chagiga, Daf Yud Gimel, that also gives an age, seems to give an age prerequisite, not as clearly as the Gemara in Kiddushin, and it gives a different age, and the age is not 40. The Gemara Chagiga on Daf Yud Gimel and Aleph tells us about learning certain things that are beyond our capacity to learn, that a person shouldn't be focused too much on. V'lobim Merkava b'yachid. It says a yachid should not learn Maisa Merkava. Maisa Merkava is what's described in Sefer Yecheskel, which is the chariots of God. It's the first chapter of Sefer Yecheskel, and it's describes some fantastic vision that Yecheskel was having. It's the source of Kedusha. It appears twice in Tanakh. It's in Sefer Yecheskel and the sixth paragraph of Sefer Yeshayahu. It appears very differently in those two places. In Yecheskel, you get a lot of, it just seems like it's a spectacle, like you get a lot of spectacular imagery with Chashmal and with all sorts of things. In Sefer Yeshayahu, it's much more direct, you know, Baruch Vod Hashem Yimakom Bo, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. It's much more, I saw Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yoshev Al Hashem, Yoshev Al Kiso, Ram Benisa. Much more, the words are much more relatable in Sefer Yeshayahu. And then the Gemara comments on that also, how they could see the same thing and describe it in such different ways, and what that's, where that comes from. The Gemara discusses that that's probably because Yechezkel had his nevuos in Chutz Laretz, so he was more impressed by all the side visions and wasn't able to zone in as much on the central focal point of the vision, whatever that may mean. And that's why the Medrash says Rasa Shivcha Leyam Mashalaray Yechezkel Benevuaso, because that was the other time in history where people saw a vision that had a lot of sideshows going on at the same time. At Kriyas Yamsuf, there was a vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there was a lot of other things going on. You read the Midrashim about the fruits growing in the Kriyas Yamsuf and everything else, all the and the Haggadah, we read about hundreds of miracles, and yet the Shivcha Leyam was able to say, Zeh Keli Van Vehu, that she was able to have that focus on the central point of the Nevuah. So that's why she was able to do what Yechezkel was unable to do. But anyway, so the Maaseh Merkava is not something we're supposed to learn b'yachid. Tani Rabbi Chiya v'mosun lo Rashi Prakim. You can give a basic idea, basic outline. Am Rabbi Zera, ein mosun Rashi Prakim alav beizdin, ul kol mi shalibo doig b'kirbo. So Rabbi Zera's opinion number one, that you can only give the Rashi Prakim to someone who's both an av beizdin, and is libo doig b'kirbo. Now it's interesting, av beizdin, what does it have to do with Av Beis Din? Why would you have to be an Av, you know, say, a Nasi, Gadol Adar, a Talmud Chacham, I don't know. Why Av Beis Din? What is it about Av Beis Din? So it's interesting, in the latter part of the year, we're going to discuss how they bring up this idea of Malay Kreso Bishasu Poskin, to Dafka learn Shasin Poskin, to learn Halacha before you learn Kabbalah. It may be based on this Gemara, that the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Zeira, in order to really study Maisa Merkava and its full implications, one needs to be the Av Beis Din. The Av Beis Din is one that deals with Psak Halacha. That's what Rav Yaakov Hillel pointed out, that that Rav Kaduri, I guess this really belongs in the second half of this year, but Rav Kaduri, who's this great, great Mekubal, wrote Svarim on Chosh Mishpat. He was a Dayan, and he wrote Svarim on Chosh Mishpat for the majority of his life. And then he became a very great Mekubal. He was studying Kabbalah all along the way as well, but that's when he became, later on, he became this great Mekubal. But anyway, so that's opinion number one. It needs to be an Av Beis Din, and someone who's Libo Doeg Bekirbo. What does that mean, Libo Doeg Bekirbo? A person's a worrier? You know, in the Orcha Sadikim, there's a Shar Hadaga, a whole chapter about worrying and the good things about worrying. Well, why is that a quality that you want someone to have in order to learn this? Okay, Ika da Amri, another version of Rabbi Zeira, Vuhu Shalibo Doig Bikirbo, that it's not Av Beis Din and anyone who's Libo Doig Bikirbo, it's an Av Beis Din who happens to have Libo Doig Bikirbo. Amar Rabbi Ami, Ein Mosin Sisrei Torah. Now it says, speaks in a much more general category. Not just Mais Merkava, Sisrei Torah in general. Elo L'mishesh B'chamisha Dvarim, five qualities. Sar Chamishim, Unusso Panim, V'yoitz B'chacham Charashim V'novel Nachash. So whatever those things mean, Sar Chamishim is what they focus on. The person has to be a Sar Chamishim. What is Sar Chamishim? So what Rashi on the spot says, you got to be 50 years old. That the person needs to be 50. So we have two ages of learning Sisrei Torah. One is the 35-year-old in Maseches Kiddushin, and we have the 50-year-old in Maseches Chagiga. So the 40-year-old doesn't appear in Shas. Now, why is it that we don't taka require that a person be 50 years old to learn Kabbalah? So first of all, it may mean in this article he points out that there are three responses that they give to that to what you do with the Gemara and Chagiga. First of all, it may mean sar chumashim, that a person knows chumash really well, not that he's 50 years old, that he just knows the chamisha chumash Torah. Or it could be that we pass him like Rabbi Zeira, that we don't pass him like the shita that says you need five qualities, because no one says you need the other four. We never heard of it, the other four. We only heard about this idea of an age. So no one says you need the other four. So maybe we paskin that all you need is libo doig bikirbo, whatever that means. And we're going to have to figure out what that means, what libo doig bikirbo might actually mean. And then he quotes the third possibility, is that maybe Maisa Merkava, Maisa Bereshis is different. Because Maisa Merkava, Maisa Bereshis are apparently the tziruf eosios shenivrubo shamayim va'aretz, where you can do things with the Kabbalah. It's not a study of an idea. it's practically implementing in this world supernatural effects of the Kabbalah. And that's something that we'd be much more reserved about, rather than someone studying the philosophy of Kabbalah. You know, I met a friend that Eli Weisfeld actually put me back in touch with. I haven't seen since second grade. We were second grade classmates. So people say, who's the oldest friend in the shul? So probably Eli. So Yehuda Santer, I think, 6 months older than me. Okay, but pretty close. So he's going anyway. So there was a classmate in second grade who apparently he wrote these beautiful svarim that Eli brought to the shul, and Eli said, you know who wrote this sefer? And he showed me the name. It's Shlomo, because the fellow's name, and he had emailed me. He listens to some of the shirim on Torah, and he said, you know, and he's obviously ben Torah, Talmud Chacham, so. I went to talk to him, he lives in Israel now, so when I went to Eretz Yisrael, I said, you know, nice to see you, I haven't seen him since second grade. I knocked on his door, his wife answers the door, and his wife says, Yisrael, your friend from second grade is here. It's a little embarrassing, but we had a very nice conversation, and he told me that he's heavily involved in learning Kabbalah, and he's a very, like, down-to-earth kind of person, and he was trying to explain to me. And I admit, I have no idea what he was talking about. I mean, I don't understand it, but he was trying to explain that Kabbalah is a very, what he called, like, practical Kabbalah, like a down-to-earth Kabbalah, like a shlemus type of thing, a way to look at the world. Meaning not like heebie-jeebie, I'm reading your forehead and I'm going to tell you what, you know, what you're going to get sick from in 17 years from now. Like, not like that kind of thing. More of just a philosophical look at the world through the eyes of the Kabbalah. So there's a difference between different things, different types of Kabbalah, apparently, and that's what the Sefer Shari Yorah suggests, that the idea of only giving to the 50-year-old is maybe some of the things that can be implemented in a way that could turn out negative as opposed to the philosophy of Kabbalah. Okay, now, let's say there is a minimum age. What's the reason for the minimum age? So I found only two explanations. Yad Ramah and Kiddushin, that I mentioned before, he says that a person hits 35, the kina and the taiva is not quite the same. When a person is younger, a person is a much bigger bal taiva. That's why the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, when he talks about doing tshuva, that tshuva shlema, the fullest sense of tshuva, can only be done if a person is still young. If a person is old, it's impossible to do tshuva shlema because you can never be in that same situation again. Because it's natural to a younger person to have these greater taivos. So if you have to be with that same woman in the same place with the same everything, you can't do that when you're older, because when you're older, you're not going to have the same titles. You're not going to be as interested in the woman. You'll be more interested in taking a nap. It's not going to be the same titles for an older person. And the kina also, a person when he's younger sometimes is more worried about getting ahead and how he's going to make a name for himself. And you get older, you just hope that that everyone is well and that you're able to make it through the day with basically happy and that that your family's doing okay. It's just like a certain maturity that kicks in when a person's older. So if a person has too much self-interest, it can be very damaging if he learns Chachmas HaKabbalah. The Maral in Chidush HaGadlos, in Chidush over there, says, he might be saying the same thing, but he says it in a Maharal-type way, where the Maharal talks about, I don't have the newest version of the Bar Ilan yet that actually has the Maharal, so I only saw it quoted in the Masifta. But the Maral talks about how young people are very focused on the guf, and Kabbalah is all about the neshama, and that imagery of guf and neshama is used a lot when describing Torah Sanistar. That Torah Sanistar is the neshama, and Torah Sanigla is the guf. So young people are very focused on the guf; they're not ready to understand the Torah Sanishama, the Kabbalah. Now in the Marsha rails against those who learn Kabbalah at too young of an age. If you look at that in source number 5, the Marsha writes on that Gemara Chagiga, Tag Amrech Meisim Mekava. I didn't read you the whole Gemara. The rest of the Gemara says that one of the Amoraim said to the other, "Come, let me teach you Meisim Mekava." And he said, "Sorry, Lo Kasha'i. I'm not old enough. You can't teach me the Meisim Mekava." The end of the story goes, which we didn't read, but the end of the story was, Kikosh, when he got old enough, Nach Nafshet Rabbi Yochanan. His Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan died and he wasn't able to learn it from him anymore. So Rav Asi said to him, Tava Gamrech Maisa Merkava. Come, I'll teach you Maisa Merkava. Amalei Izakai Gamirtimir Rabbi Yochanan Rabcha. If I would have been Zocha to learn it properly, I would have been able to learn it from your Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan. Whatever that means, whether that was a yes or a no, it's not so clear what kind of answer that is. But the initial response was, I'm not old enough. Doesn't say how old. You have to be, but apparently you got to be a certain age. Says Marshan, Mikan Shuvalos Nanashim Shebedora Zeh Shemevalim Kol Yimei B'Chachmas HaKabbalah Gam B'Yaldusam. He says this is a response to all those people who waste their time learning Kabbalah even in their young age. V'Machachma Hi Chachmas HaKabbalah Einu Nogeya B'Maisa Merkava Lo Yadana Lomelo Huskara Zua Chachma B'Shum Makom Lo b'mishnah, v'lo b'talmud, b'tosefta, b'mechilta, b'sifra, b'sifri. He says, I don't know, in all the things that I'm learning, and that I'm supposed to learn, and that we're expected to learn, I don't see any of this Kabbalah. Ulfi anira shechachmazu noga'as b'lemayla mimaisa merkava, v'yosa ro'i lahastira v'lo legalosa. Better to keep it private and not to reveal it. That must be on our Gemara. The Marsha says, and in the fourth parak of Kiddushin, I have what to say about people who talk about these kinds of things publicly. That this has to be kept very private, it should be kept this there, and certainly young people should not be involved. Now it's pointed out, Yaakov Emden pointed out, the Marsha wasn't against Kabbalah. There was no one in history, as far as I know, that was against Kabbalah, meaning it's a part of our Sora, it's a part of our Torah. I don't know if it means to be. He wasn't against Kabbalah. Marshal's Chidush HaGadol are laced with Kabbalistic ideas through and through. He was against the idea of focusing on it when a person is young, and he was against the idea of everybody focusing on it and it being brought to the masses. Those are things that he was against. But he wasn't trying to say that Kabbalah is worthless because it's not in Sifri Sifra. He says it's Lamaila Merkava. It's beyond the Maisa Merkava, and therefore that's something that we can't talk about publicly. So that seems to be the main hesitation with having someone who's young doing this. So what's the hesitation? Either that he's ill-prepared to be able to learn Kabbalah, or that it's going to take him away from what he should be focused on. At a younger age, a person needs to be focused on learning Taras HaNigla, and you're not going to be able to do it. You can't do both. So at a young age. Now, where does the age of 40 come from? So it's not from nowhere. There is a source for the age of 40. The Shach in Yerodeh, Sim Resh Mem Vav, Sif Katan Vav, talks a little bit about learning of Kabbalah. And at the end of the source, the Shach quotes the Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah that you should only learn Chachmas HaKabbalah when you're Nemali Kreso with Shas. And then he quotes at the very end, V'yesha Kasvu, Shalolimu Kabbalah Achie Ben Arbaim Shana. That some say that you shouldn't learn Kabbalah until you're 40 years old. Like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, that when you're 40 years old, you have Bina. Bina is a deeper level of understanding. And a person needs not just Kedusha, Tara, Zrizus, Nakius, he also needs Bina. He needs a deep level of understanding. And that can't happen until the age of 40. Shamshi was just telling me before that maybe this relates to the idea of 40, relates to Ein Adam Omer Al Das Rabo, Ad Arbaim Shana, that a person doesn't understand his Rebbe until 40 years. That maybe what Shamshi was saying is that maybe that's the idea of being, that what that means is that you don't understand your Rebbe till you're 40 years old. The way I always heard from Rav Shechter was not that way. It was that you don't understand your Rebbe until 40 years after you heard from him. When I was in Rav Shechter's shir, he was about 56, 57 years old. He went into the Rav's shir when he was 16, so he would say it all the time. Because it was his 40th year after he started learning by the Rav, so he'd always say, "That's what he meant." You know, like now I understand. It took 40 years, but now I understand. I mean, when he was 16, he understood better than the 22-year-olds that were in the shir. But he used to tell us, you know, the Tanaim knew what they were talking about when they said Ben Chamesh Esrei LeTalmud. He said, you know, that a person under 15 his mind's not ready for Talmud. He says, when I was in a Salvechik shir, I was 16. If I would have been 14. I probably wouldn't have understood it so well. So, yeah, we can relate. but the idea is that 40 years later, so maybe the idea of a person being 40 years old when he learns Chachmas HaNistar is that if it's this worldview, if it's this understanding of the way the world works, maybe a person has to be in the world, you know, maybe it's the understanding of what he learned from the Malach 40 years later, and a person has to have 40 years of just being in the world to start to understand the world. in a certain way, and it's a whole different way of looking at the world. So maybe that's what it's about. Okay, so these are the possibilities of what it's about. The Shach says the idea of 40 in the Hakdama to the Sefer Or HaChama, which I did not know on my own. This I saw quoted in that article. He quotes a lengthy passage where he, at Agav, at the end, mentions that you need to be 40 years old to learn Kabbalah. And he contrasts Torah HaNistar with Torah HaNigla, and he says, the Hasagas Torah Shabichsav v'Torah Shvalpeh, Mishnah, Talmud, Yeshlam Kitzva. There's a set amount. So it's like Meimei Abar, it's like water in a well, where there's a certain set amount, and you drink as much as you can, and you get a lot of good things out of it. V'inim ki kol ma sh'adam is asik l'hasik v'Torah Shabichsav v'Torah Shvalpeh, yishor lo yosir ma'at. It's quantifiable. When the Mishnah says, at 5 years learn Mikra, at 10 years learn Mishnah, it's because in 5 years you can learn Mikra. And in the next 5 years you can learn Mishnah. But by Kabbalah, it's, by Torah Sinistra, it's not going to work that way. He says, a person can live, me'arbaim shona ve'elach, tzarech adam sasi v'chachma sevas, kol yamav afilu yichya elef shonim pa'amayim. Even if you live 2,000 years, you're still not there. You're not even hitting the tip of the iceberg. So that's why it starts at 40 and it goes forever. I mean, there is no end to the learning of Kabbalah. Now again, the Poskim would say there's no end to the learning of Talmud either. I mean, you read the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, and he describes Ben Chamesh Esrei LeTalmud. There's then Ben Shmona Esrei LeChuppah. That's not the end of Talmud. That's hopefully you're continuing with Talmud after Ben Shmona Esrei LeChuppah and after the Ben Esrei, Ben Shlosha, Ben, you know, Ben Arba and all the everything else. However, it seems that the idea of having to be 40 was not certainly not universal, and perhaps not even that widely accepted. The Arizal died when he was 38 years old, according to his Wikipedia page. The Ramchal, when he was 39 years old, according to his Wikipedia page. So even if it's off, it's not off by much. Shamshi said he thought that the Ramchal was 40. Okay, even if he was 40, chances are he didn't learn all that between his 40th birthday and his Patira. So it seems that the greatest Kabbalists in history, my Talmidim said to me today, I was talking to them about this a little bit today, so one of them said, maybe like they lived their life on like fast forward. You know, like what we could accomplish in a short amount, in a longer amount of time, they were able to accomplish more quickly, so they like sort of hit 40 earlier. Whatever that means, maybe that it makes about as much sense to me as, you know, as anything else that I understand over here. The other raya that they bring is from the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed. And this raya resonates a little bit because we know this Gemara. The Gemara tells us that lo li mishali shal mishnos or shlish b'mikra, shlish mishna, shlish b'talmud. A person is supposed to divide his years, one-third mikra, one-third mishna, one-third talmud. So the Gemara asks, well, mi yad kamachai? Does the person know how long he's going to live? I mean, what do? You sit down one day and say, I feel I'll probably live 96, right? So till I'm 32, I'll learn mikra. Then until I'm 64, I'll learn Mishnah. Then until I'm 96, I'll learn Talmud. Well, people might plan on living to 96, but it might not work out that way. The guy might die when he's 60, and he'll never finish Mishnah, and he'll never get to Talmud, because he was planning on those last 32 years being his Talmud years. So the Gemara says, it doesn't make any sense. It can't be that that's the plan of how to work out Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. So the Gemara says, no, it must mean that you divide it up based on days. So Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos what that means. Rashi says it means Sunday, Monday, Mikra, Tuesday, Wednesday, Mishnah, Thursday, Friday, Talmud, and then I guess Shabbos is a Chazara day, or you take a nap or something. But you work it out based on the days. Tosfos says, no, because what if you die on Wednesday? Then it's going to turn out that you miss Thursday and Friday that week. It's going to ruin the whole schedule. So Tosfos says, every day has to be divided into three parts. And then Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam goes even further and says, by learning Talmud Bavli, you don't even have to worry about dying at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and never getting to your Talmud that day, because by learning Talmud Bavli, you're getting Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud all wrapped up into one. The Shach quotes it in Yaradeya, this idea of the Rabbeinu Tam that we learn in Talmud Bavli. But that notion that if you wait and you say, oh, I'm going to learn this when, well, we don't know what's going to happen when. We don't know if we're going to be there for that eventuality. So if you hold that it's an important thing to accomplish in life, to learn Kabbalah, to say I'm only going to do it when I'm 40, none of us knows that how long we're going to live and if we're going to be able to do it at that point in time. So that's the raya that those who promote earlier Kabbalah learning suggest, but just like that Gemara in Kiddushin says, not to delay Gemara, we shouldn't delay Kabbalah either. In fact, Rav Kook, in his letters, Rav Kook was a master of Kabbalah, and in his letters he encourages people to learn Kabbalah at a young age. Okay, Rav Kaduri also, Rav Mazuz, he quotes in this article from all these great Kabbalists. Now, what's the knowledge requirement? Now, it's Yadua, I think, in our circles, that if a guy is not Mali Kreso B'Shasu Poskim, if he's not someone who's a Talmud Chacham also, he's not someone you want to get your Kabbalah from. Meaning, there's a difference between a tzaddik and a mekubal. A tzaddik is valuable in the Hasidic world. You know, not every rebbe was a Talmud Chacham, but the idea was that he's a tzaddik. So the zchus of being a tzaddik is worthwhile to get a bracha from. It's not a prerequisite to be a massive Talmud Chacham that you have to be a massive Talmud Chacham in order to be a tzaddik. A person can be a very great tzaddik and he doesn't have the intellectual capacity to be a massive Talmud Chacham, or he's involved in other types of avoda and other types of. And he can be a very great tzaddik, and certainly worth getting a bracha from, and worth, you know, learning how to be Ovid Hashem from, and things of that nature. But to be a mekubal without being a Talmud Chacham, that's a non-starter, right? That a person shouldn't be someone who we trust his Kabbalah if he doesn't have the knowledge in Shas and Poskim. Where does that idea come from? So I'm reminded of Yaakov Hillel, who is known as like the most down-to-earth mekubal. He once, I'll tell you that story. He was on Avishai's boat once.
It was Ellie's boat.
Oh, it was Ellie's boat, right. But Avishai called me at like 11:30 at night. I'm taking Rabbi Yaakov Hillel out on the boat now. You want to come? what are you talking about? And my brother-in-law was at the house.
I took
You were there, yes. My brother-in-law was there. So I said, you know, I got to prepare the daf. I got to wake up at 5 in the morning. But, you know, maybe you want to go. So my brother-in-law was like, well, Yaakov Hillel, my brother-in-law's been learning in Kollel and Eretz Yisrael for like 20 years. He was like super excited. So he went on the boat, and he said, like, it was just such a strange experience. It was like the guys were eating, like, barbecuing on a boat. And, you know, Yaakov Hillel was here to raise money. He wasn't here to eat a barbecue. So he was trying to connect with people. And they're like, Rabbi, you want a hot dog? And he's like, I haven't eaten meat in 42 years. You know, like, the conversations were just like, so like, oh, you want a beer? But Rabbi Yaakov Hillel is known as like a very down-to-earth type of mekubal. And Rabbi Yaakov Hillel says that when a mekubal comes to town, you know, you have ads in the newspaper that this great mekubal is coming to town. So he says, when a mekubal comes to town, first thing the rabbanim in town should do is ask him to say shir in the local kollel. Find the lomdim, people who are, you know, shakua in Talmud Torah, and ask them to say shir in the local kollel. And if he says no, it's probably because he can't, and you don't want his Kabbalah either, so you don't want to invite that kind of mekubal. That was his suggestion. That's how Yaakov Hillel likes to say in Rav Sternberg's Shuvas, he quotes from Yaakov Hillel that they call them mekubalim, but many of them should be called mekablim instead of mekubalim, because they just like to take people's money. But where does this come from? They have to be baki in Shas and Poskim. So Chayyadim writes it in Klal Yud in Osi Yud Beis. Chayyadim says very. I even included in here. I was a little sloppy with the Mar Makomos. Yeah, the Chayyadim, source number 7. Ein la Adam lilmod ki mikra mishnah gemara poskim sifrei musar ubezei yikra adam olam azev olam haba. He says a person should learn the regular things, and in that way you're going to be zochet olam azev olam haba, all the good things. Omikol makom mutar lilmod ba'akrai shar chachmos uvashle yisifrei apikorsim, just don't learn apikorses. Ve'ein la Adam lilmod chachmos hakabala Ella ad she yamale kreso begemara poskim v'yiri yirei shemayim gadol v'yoshiv tamid v'osik b'torah. Person should not learn Kabbalah unless he filled his stomach, so to speak, with gemara and poskim. The Gra in his commentary on Mishlei also talks about dinim. He says leida lekayim ad dinim. Talks about halacha. The Gra was also a great mekubal. The Gra knew Kabbalah. It's obviously very, very well. And Rav Chaim Vital, when he in his Sakdam to the Shar Akdamos, says that it's the Kabbalah without Torah Sanigla is like a neshama bli guf. That you can't have a neshama without a guf. You need something to house the neshama. He also says it the other way around, that Torah Sanigla without Torah Sanistar is like a guf bli neshama, which is also, you know, then it's Frankenstein. That's not something that's good either in Rav Chaim Vital's world. But where it all comes from, this idea of Malik Reso, is probably the Rambam in Sorei HaTorah, Perek Dal Alech Yud Gimel. It doesn't say this in the Gemara. It doesn't say in the Gemara anywhere that you need to know Shas and Poskim Rotzel and Kabbalah. But the Rambam, in Yisori HaTorah, in source number 8, the Inyani Arba Prokam Eil, Shebechamish Mitzvah Elohim, Shecham Arishon Kornos of Pardes, these things that we call Pardes, he said, not all the Gedolei HaChachamim had the Koach Leido Lahasi Kaladvar Malburian. Not even the Holy Tanayim were able to fully grasp everything. Va'ani Omer She'in Ro'i L'tayil B'Pardes El Mishin Esmalei Kreso Lechem U'Basar. He uses the imagery of a pardes, an orchard. When do you go and get a fruit for dessert? After you already finished the Lechem U'Basar, after you already ate your meal. V'Lechem U'Basar Hu Leida Ha'asar V'Hamutar. To know again, halacha is what he's focused on. Not lamdus, not limud tanach, halacha. That a person has to know ha'asr va'amutr, and only then is he going to be able to study the chachmas hanistar. Now it's very interesting the Rambam says that, because again, the achronim have a lot of trouble finding out what the source of the Rambam is. Rambam doesn't make things up. So in fact, in the Sefer Avodas HaMelech, in the Sodei HaTorah, he says, I don't know where the Rambam got it from. My best guess is that the Rambam made it up, is that the Rambam got it from experience, that from his own learning, he realized how important it was to have the background in Chachmas HaNigla before a person goes into Chachmas HaNistar. But there's no source for it. So in this essay, or this 97-page article that I was telling you about before, he finds that unfathomable, that the Rambam would make something like that up, that it was just purely, you know, there are discussions every once in a while where the Rambam maybe, you know, where we can't find anything in Medrash, Yerushalmi, Bavli, anything where the Rambam could have gotten something from. Like, for example, we just had the Tcheles discussion recently, the Rambam says that the dye is black, that's why we have black stripes in our talus. It doesn't say that in any Gemara, anywhere, any Medrash, nothing. It doesn't say it anywhere. So they assumed that Ram must have not made it up, that he must have had something. He must have had something that he thought was the Chilazon, and he saw it had black dye. So he said, oh, I guess it's black. But that's what the Avod HaMelech says over here. He was learning his own Kabbalah, and he realized, you really need to know the Shas and Poskim in order to learn this. But anyway, that's a much larger discussion. We should all fill our stomachs with Shas and Poskim. We should all be zochet to do that at least.